We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for the people of Missouri. We're for brewmasters, stockbrokers, beauty queens, and truck drivers. Whatever you do, if you're a Missourian, we're for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.
Player, coach, pain in the ass. He's done it all on the gridiron from South Bend to Arrowhead. From football on the radio, back to football, then more radio, then a little more football, and now radio again. It's Tim Grunhard on the program.
Welcome back here in the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB Sorrent Petro with you, courtesy of Adam Dravetta. Time to talk some NFL drafts, some Chiefs football. We do with our football insider, Tim Grunhard, joins us here in the program, brought to you by our friends at Twin Peaks, TwinPeaksRestaurant.com. If you're looking for a great place to watch the NFL draft, watch some Major League Baseball. The Royals are red hot with TVs everywhere, 29-degree man-sized draft beers, premium cocktails served over ice balls. It is the spot. Independence, Olathe, and in the Northland, Twin Peaks, eats, drinks, scenic views. Don't forget that made-from-scratch menu. And, of course, you heard it, most scenic views in town. It's at Twin Peaks. Find them online right now at TwinPeaksRestaurant.com. Tim, how are you?
I'm doing great, guys. We are rolling into draft season, so pretty excited about that. The offseason for the Kansas City Chiefs thus far has really been about kind of getting their free agents in line, especially guys in-house. They've done some of that. They went out and got a couple different guys, a wide receiver and a quarterback, and I'm sure they're going to do a little bit more, but it's all about the draft now, Sorrent.
It is, and, you know, I think the free agency period, everyone who was going to get a big check was going to get it. The next chance for them to increase their value is for a team to not fill a need in the draft, so that kind of becomes all quiet until somebody goes, oh, you know, Donovan Smith's hoping somebody doesn't get one of the tackles, whoever doesn't get one of these offensive tackles, and they call him and go, okay, we need you now. We were looking at it today. Let's start with that. Just when you look at, you know, we'll take the Mel Kiper and the Field Yates mock draft and put it with the Matt Miller big board, right? So it's a lot of numbers. We're not going to read them all to you. We're not going to go through Matt's. Matt's a local guy. He does a great job. 470-some-odd players.
474.
He is ranked.
Not 475. He's time to cut it short.
We'll go 474-1. Here we go. 474. No, I'm just kidding. No, but what we did was we basically carved out. We took, like, the draft was the Kiper Yates draft. And this is the one they had on TV the last couple of days. So if you've been watching ESPN, we took that draft, but we married it to the Matt Miller draft board. Right. So it's like Matt Miller was our draft board. Right. And so we're like, okay, we had our meetings. We're Brett Veach and all his lieutenants, and we stacked our board, and Matt Miller's board is our board. Right. And so then 31 picks have come off the board. We can talk about where you might want to trade. But here's what I think is interesting. We know wide out and tackle are the spots that the Chiefs are looking at. There are six wide receivers that have gone. There are, nine offensive tackles that have gone. I mean, yes, it's a dream. This is the doomsday scenario. Isn't it, Tim, that, like, oh, great, the draft is super thick. Half of the picks before they take are the two positions the Chiefs really need to take. This is the nightmare scenario for them, is it not?
It absolutely is. And the good news is that, you know, I think there's going to be some runs, and there might be some runs on the quarterback. You know, the first four picks will probably be quarterbacks. And then I think the Denver Broncos are a team that may look at a quarterback, a guy like Bo Nix, who they would like to get a guy coming in a little bit like Drew Brees, makes a lot of good decisions and does some good things. So you might see a run on some of the quarterbacks too, and whether Penix goes in the first round because somebody gets nervous. Let's remember, it is a quarterback-driven league in the NFL. So if a team says, hey, man, we better get a quarterback, then that'll be good for the Chiefs. But I think you're exactly right. I sent a text out to Andy Heck, and, of course, he didn't give me any good information because – he's just not going to do that. But he said, listen, we really like the top-tier tackles in this draft. And he says there's about eight of them that the Kansas City Chiefs would, you know, probably like to take if there's a possibility to get there. Now, when will the run be? Will the run be on offensive tackles? And if that happens, you know, let's Yeah, they got four or five quarterbacks go, and then all of a sudden you see a string of about maybe six or seven tackles go. And then, you know, wide receivers, when did they go? So you're exactly right. The doomsday deal is if offensive tackles and wide receivers go off the board all at once with big runs, the Kansas City Chiefs will go to plan B. And, you know, Brett Veach has said it. Listen, we may go with, if something like that happens, the best available player. And that could be a defensive back. It could be a defensive lineman. It could be a kid. You know, I was looking at your Matt Miller deal, and I agree with he did a great job. You know, Brian Murphy from Texas, the cornerback Cooper Dijon from Iowa. So one of those guys may fall down to there. So I think the Chiefs can still get a pretty good football player, but may not fit into the parameters that we all think it's going to.
Yeah, no, and listen, this is just one mock draft, and, you know, Mel does a great job of talking about the fact that, you know, look, you never know what's going to happen. Who does somebody else fall in love with? And I thought it was interesting. I think this might be the first time Field Yates has done a draft where he had to pick and put his name to it. Because if you watch the broadcast, and he was a scout. I'm not running him down. He does a great segment with Jason Anderson. He's a really talented guy. He's been a scout for the Chiefs and Patriots. I mean, the man knows football. But one of the things I thought was really interesting, he had at the end of the broadcast last night, he kind of had this epiphany moment where he's like, you know, it really splits at like number 30 and how it goes. That's one of the things we've always talked about. It's like, yeah, everybody's kind of got the same, you know, 8 to 15 up there, and maybe one or two will trickle down. Maybe in a great year it's 20-25. But then we branch out into that second round, and there's 25 to 50 guys there, and they start going in different directions. And I think that's why this exercise is so good, to just take it and say, okay, we've got to make a pick for the Chiefs. Well, and everyone's like, you got to take a tackle. 9 offensive tackles have come off the board. Like, if you're like, they have to take a tackle, the 10th best. Now, granted, the 10th best offensive tackle is probably more valuable than the 3rd best middle linebacker.
Yeah.
Right? Like, just the position makes it important,
but
right?
On this list, that guy is number 64 overall. It's a kid from BYU. So are you going to
grab that
guy in the first round or the second round?
So, like, if offensive tackle, like, I love the idea, Tim. I think you probably do, too. Love the idea of taking offensive tackle. And, like, off the board, Joe Alt went 7. Fashanu from Penn State went 14. Fuaga from Oregon State went 18. I already forgot. They had this kind of high, I think. But Fatanu from Washington went 10. So then Fashanu, then Fuaga. We got a Fatanu, a Fashanu, and a Fuaga.
That's
a mouthful.
Fantastic.
10, so, 14, and 18. 20, Graham Barton from Duke goes. 24, Tyler Guyton from Oklahoma goes. I even missed Jordan Morgan at 31. J.C. Latham at 11. Amarius Mims at 22. Literally, I guarantee you there's everybody who's been sitting out there going, oh, the Chiefs, I want to get an offensive tackle. Everyone you've mock drafted, if you go into the PFF mock draft simulator, every tackle that you have dreamt of being there at 32 is not there. Like, it sucks. It sucks if you really wanted to take an offensive tackle. So, Tim, this is the scenario where they're flying off the board, and at 24, when you're down to, of our top board, we're down to just Tyler Guyton and Jordan Morgan of Arizona, and our top 40 players and our top 9 offensive tackles. Are you on the phones at 25, 26, 27, doing whatever you can to try to get up? Or really, I'm sorry, at 22, Mims comes off. So 23, there's only 2 tackles that you've got in your top 9 left on the board. If that's what we grade as first-rounders, are you on the phone trying to trade up?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's an interesting scenario, and you're exactly right with, I think that a lot of these guys are going to go off. I am crossing my fingers that there will be some guys who get nervous a little bit, and maybe those wide receiver runs will take up some of those offensive tackle positions. But in the perfect scenario for this discussion, yeah, I am moving up because I think it's really important to go and find a left tackle. I loved your question yesterday to Coach Reed. You talked about Wandy Morris and, you know, are you comfortable with Wandy Morris in that position? And you had the balls to ask him about Rashid Rice, which, you know, I thought he answered it very honestly and very, you know, candidly, which I was surprised. I really was. And so I think both of those positions are definitely positions of need for the Kansas City Chiefs. It's going to be strange in how it falls because I think at 32, If you're saying, hey, listen, we don't want to trade a pick and we want to make sure we have all seven picks, and you know better than I do about the semantics of moving up in the draft and if you lose a pick or all those kind of things. But I think the Chiefs would like to have their seven lottery tickets. And I think at that seventh, that 32nd position, you could find a very, very quality wide receiver. There is a drop-off after six in wide receiver. There really is. I mean, from six, if seven and eight, if you're talking about the kid from South Carolina, or even you're talking about, gosh, I had the list here somewhere. Let's see. Xavier Worthy from Texas also, one of those two guys. Those are guys in the Kansas City Chiefs, but a little bit different. Have different skill sets. Whether the Chiefs want to go for some size, they want to go some speed. It just depends on the taste or the kind of the mood of what's going on in the draft room. But Sorrent, I think you do. If you say, listen, we need to go out and find a left tackle for this offense, then you have to go up and you got to go find one because there's some really quality guys in here. But I will preface it by saying this, and I don't know if anybody said this, but remember, Patrick Mahomes is going to have a big role, a critical role in what happens in this draft, especially in the first couple rounds. And he's down there right now in Texas working out with those wide receivers. If he calls and says, hey, listen, we need to get this room better. We just don't have the guys we need to go into this season. I'm not going through the crap I went through last year. You better guys better go out and find a wide receiver. I think that's going to hold a lot of weight. If he says, hey, listen, I feel comfortable with the guys we have brought in. Maybe you could find somebody in the second or third round that's a quality wide receiver, but I feel comfortable with it. Get me some protection at the left tackle position. I think that's going to be a key for what the Chiefs do. If the wide receiver position, which he's working with in Texas right now, is not up to standards, he wants a wide receiver. It's the same thing LeBron James does. He's earned it. He's an MVP. He's a Super Bowl winner, and he's going to dictate what he wants coming out of this, whether you like it or not.
Yeah, let's. So if you say, okay, well, tackle's not there, but let's go get the best wideout, just to finish playing out this scenario, gone are Marvin Harrison, Malik Nabers, Roma Dunze, Brian Thomas, Xavier Worthy, and Adonai Mitchell. They're all gone. So off our draft board, we've got Ladd McConkey, our seventh best wideout, Xavier Leggett, eight, Keon Coleman of Florida State, nine, and Ricky Pearsall of Florida, 10. Are you satisfied when you're sitting there as the tackles are flying off the board at 22? You're like, okay, Mitchell and Worthy haven't gone at that point. You're like, well, we'll at least get a wideout. Then Worthy goes, then Mitchell goes at 28. Are we satisfied there with Ladd McConkey, who I think everybody who listens to this show knows is a draft crush of Curtis and I? We both like him, and we are satisfied with Ladd McConkey. Or do you then go, wait a minute, you know, Chris Jones ain't going to play forever. Mike Pinnell, they didn't even re-sign back in 19 after he played well for him in the Super Bowl. They've re-signed him this year. They've re-signed Derek Nnadi because nobody else is signing those guys. They've re-signed Michael Dana. Do you look down and go, well, wait a minute, only Byron Murphy has come off the board at D-tackle. Jerzon Newton of Illinois is still there. Braden Fisk of Florida State is still there. We've got Newton as a top 30 guy. Your edge rushers, they're pretty much all gone, too. Dallas Turner's gone. Jared Verse is gone. Leitu Latu's gone. Darius Robinson's gone. Chop Robinson's gone. Like, I think you take a long look and say, if you can't make a trade-up, is Ladd McConkey your... what do we say? He's our number seven wideout. Is that better than the number two defensive tackle on our board? Or, this is where drafting the best player available and filling all your spots so you can line up and play, Tim. Like, it's why it's important to not be like, oh my God, if Wanya Morris starts, we're dead. Because then you do go ahead and take a bad, a tackle that's down your board as opposed to, well, wait a minute. We had Newton number 30. He's still there at 32. He's the best player on our board. And it's kind of a need, maybe not so much this year, but next year it will be. We got to grab this guy. Like, what do you do at that point?
Yeah, no, I think just for what I've known of Brett Veach, and I think you feel the same way. I mean, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I think when it comes down to it, I think he's going to make a couple phone calls. And if he can get himself a deal to move up and maybe find an offensive tackle in the top 20 or 22 or 23 in that area, then he'll do it. But it's going to have to be on his terms. And I'm not sure that's going to happen in this draft. So then you look at the wide receiver position, you say, okay, do we want to go with the seventh, eighth, or ninth wide receiver. Do we want to go with a wide receiver like a Ladd McConkey or the Xavier Leggett kid from South Carolina? Do we want those guys, or do we want to say, hey, listen, you know, because there's been such a run on the quarterbacks, which four or five are going to go in the first round, because there's such a run on the wide receivers, which maybe seven or eight are going to go in the first round, because there's such a run on the offensive tackles that, you know, all of a sudden there's some really quality football players, whether they're defensive backs, whether they're inside linemen. I love the kid from Illinois. I think Miami's very, very interested in him as they lost one of their best defensive tackles in free agency. Yeah. They're a team that's very interested in him too. So do you say, hey, listen, we can get ourselves a guy that in any other draft, maybe a top 15 or 20 guy at 32, and maybe doesn't fit into the square hole into the round peg scenario for the Chiefs as far as what everybody thinks they're going to do. I think they go out and they find themselves the best player. So to answer your question, and listen, this is all guessing and speculative, and we've seen crazy things happen in this draft in many, many years of you and I doing it together, where all of a sudden they take a pick, we're like, where the hell did that come from? But the prevailing thought is the Chiefs need an offensive tackle. I think that they will entertain moving up to get one, but I think it's going to be on their terms. I don't think you're going to give away the house to get them. I think that they will think about taking a wide receiver because of the Rashid Rice thing. May has forced their hands a little bit, which is unfortunate, as now we see he's being sued by all these different people. He's got all these issues going on, and whether the NFL is going to suspend him for a while, we don't know, but that's a state of flux. So do they say, well, let's go out and find a wide receiver, and maybe he's not in the top 50 or 60 wide receivers, but he's a guy we really need? I don't think they do that. I think that Brett Veach is the kind of guy to say, listen, we are going to find the best football player and put him on the field. And that could be a defensive tackle. It could be a defensive back. Heck, it could be an interior lineman, because remember, with the way that Chris Jones and a lot of these contracts are going, you're not going to be able to keep all three of those guys in the middle. And they may go out and say, hey, listen, we better get ourselves an insurance policy with an inside guy who may be the number one or number two inside guy that you can get at 32.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we did this, you know, based upon Matt Miller's rankings, and I mentioned Gershon Newton. Let me do point out, excuse me, at this point that I think a guy that will probably be ranked higher on their board because of what Steve Spagnuolo likes, and you might have some insight, or maybe you can give us some insight next week, because I know you have connections at this program, but Braden Fisk, the defensive tackle at Florida State, is more of the long, you know, defensive lineman that usually, you know, Steve Spagnuolo likes. He likes 6'4", 6'5", 6'6", and this guy's 6'4" tall, ran a 4.78 40. I mean, he's not as big a name. I think, you know, we've heard a lot more out of Gershon Newton. Some people having him in the first round. But I think in this particular scenario, I bet the Chiefs have Braden Fisk ranked ahead of Gershon Newton just because of his length. And that seems to be more of their type of guy. Again, for the exercise, we use Matt Miller, who's great, on his board rankings. There are teams that probably, you know, favor the stouter, you know, pluggier type like Newton, but Braden Fisk may be the guy that if they did say, okay, we're taking a defensive lineman, he looks more like Chris Jones than Newton does.
Yeah, and that you know, the only thing I would say about that is if I think if they do go after an interior defensive lineman, it's going to be more of a one technique. And I'm not sure if Spags likes the one techniques longer. He probably does, but he's been playing with the guys like Nadi and Pinnell, which are kind of stout guys that are kind of the fire plugs that, you know, they're going to try and take up two gaps. They're not going to particularly make a lot of plays, but they're going to lock guys up so linebackers can flow around and make plays. So that'll be interesting. Yeah, that'll be an interesting look at, okay, if they want to get a little bit longer, a little bit taller nose tackle, because – let's face it, Chris Jones is going to be the 3-3 technique. They've experimented with him outside, and they'll put him out there every once in a while, and you'll see Dana go inside and play a little bit. So there is some room for that, for a longer guy. But if you're going to look for a defensive interior guy, look, you're looking for a guy that's going to be more stout, more of a nose tackle, one technique guy that is going to lock some people up and be a run stopper. And maybe, just maybe, if you can find the perfect guy, that maybe you can get to the quarterback every once in a while.
Yeah. Is there a surprise position You're thinking of give that some thought. We'll take a break. I don't want to get too far behind. Tim Grunhardt is with us here in the program. We're talking Chiefs draft. We're just over a week away. More with Grunhardt next here in the program.
All right, the Joe's Kansas City Barbecue Burnt End of the Hour Answer. What player holds the NFL rookie record for passes intercepted in a season? The number is 14.
14? Did Night Train Lane do that in his rookie year?
Night Train Lane, 1952. The Hall of Famer born on this date in 1928.
Yeah, and that's still the record, isn't it? Is that the NFL
record?
That's
the NFL
season?
Record. Rookie or not rookie.
Yeah, he did it. Not bad. Night Train Lane, pretty good ball player. Look him up. Think about it. They didn't throw the ball much. And he still had 14.
14.
You know? They weren't as good throwing the ball either.
That's true.
So I'll put that plan for a little
Joe's.
Joe's Kansas City Barbecue. Joe'sKC.com to put your order in. Pick it up on your way home. The best barbecue in the world. It's got three locations. 47th and Mission, 119th and Strangline, and 117th and Row. It is Joe's Kansas City Barbecue. Don't forget, great for your graduation parties as well. You can get a big spread together. Make everybody happy with Joe's Kansas City Barbecue. Send it anywhere in the country. Send it to your graduate. At joeskc.com. That's joeskc.com. Talking to Tim Grunhardt here in the program. Timmy, I talked about it before we went to break. Is there a position that you go, okay, out of nowhere, or a guy? Do you have a draft crush, a player? Maybe it's a position we already talked, but the more you look at him, the more you read about him, the more you hear about him, you go, that's the guy for the Chiefs?
Well, I mean, I love A.D. Mitchell from Texas. I think that he's going to probably be gone by that time. And I'm with you guys with Ladd McConkey. He's got a lot more speed than I even thought he did. And somebody corrected me after the show last week. You know, he ran a 4.340 in the combine. So you're right. He's got some good speed. But for me, he's a guy that runs great routes, obviously has some speed, and he's got great pluckability, catches the ball well. And, you know, Patrick Mahomes would be happy to have a guy that he can trust and know exactly where he's going to be. So for me, there's a guy that if it got down to that point and they were going to say, hey, we're going to take a position of need in the draft and it's wide receiver, I think if Ladd McConkey was taken, I'd be very, very excited about it. If they're going to go with the best player available, I think you're going to see a defensive back. All right. I think you're going to see a corner of some sort. You have Trent McDuffie, obviously, who's an outstanding football player. But even, you know, looking at our lads, which is a site that talks a little bit about, you know, draft, the depth charts and all those kind of things, they have him at the nickelback. So their two corners are Jalen Watson, who was drafted in the seventh round in 22. And then they got Joshua Williams, who was drafted in the fourth round in 22. So do you go and find a guy that, okay, we're going to go find a player in the draft that can help us out right away and who's a good athlete? And because of the run on wide receivers, a run on offensive tackles, the run on quarterbacks. And then, of course, you know, everybody, listen, there's never been a draft where, you know, at least one or two or three edge guys have gone. And, there's not a lot of edge guys this year, but a lot of people, they want to get after the quarterback, especially in the AFC. That's the only way to stop the great quarterbacks in the AFC is to get after them with the front four, because it's so hard to blitz just about all the good quarterbacks in the AFC. So I wouldn't be surprised to see some reaches at the defensive end position or edge rusher position. But I like defensive back, and I like the kid from Iowa. I really do. I watched him a bunch. That was a great defense they had. I'm talking about Cooper. I'm saying it, Dijon. Is that the way you say it?
Yeah,
is it Dijon?
Dijon.
I like that kid. I don't really consider him a draft crush, but I think he's a solid football player. He's a great tackler. He does a really good job in coverage. He's got really good speed, and he played in a pro style defense at Iowa. So there's a guy that I think that might be there at that point. I think the kid Arnold from Alabama will probably be gone. I'm not sure about the Mitchell kid from Toledo. I didn't see much of him. He plays in the MAC. Maybe he's a great athlete, but I don't know. I don't know enough about him, but I have seen the Cooper, Dijon kid play, and I like the way that he competes out there. So there's a guy that I think that if they're going to go with the best player available, like you said, I think they're going to go after defensive tackle, but I would not be surprised and Brett Veach has done this consistently in his drafts. He goes out and finds athletes, and this kid is an athlete.
Yeah, no doubt. And you know, I don't know that they can. If Ladd McConkey's there at 32, I'm pretty happy with it. But doesn't it kind of feel like they are in no man's land? That if they love Ladd McConkey, maybe he'll be there. But I kind of think Ladd McConkey's maybe going to go before some of these guys that, yeah, other people have there. But it feels kind of like they're going to have to go up or go down. Like the better move is either going to be to go up and get your guy, or it's going to be to trade back and just throw numbers at it. Doesn't it feel like 32 is kind of, I don't love, we love Ladd McConkey, but I don't think he's going to be there. And if Ladd McConkey's not there, I don't know that I love anyone that they're going to get.
Well, like you guys said, that's definitely a possibility. If they shop up and they don't get the deal they want to, I could see them going down. Carolina's a team that's looking for a wide receiver. They may want to move up a little bit. The Chiefs can move down to their pick. And now all of a sudden you can find a decent wide receiver in the second round. You got the Malik Washington kid. You got Jermaine Burton. You got Tez Walker. You might even have Xavier Leggett may fall down to the first part of the second round, a guy that the Chiefs have talked about even taking in the first round. And then, Curtis said a little bit earlier at the tackle position, the kid from BYU, and they're going to draft somebody like that because you know why, Seren? Because they're going to make me pronounce their damn names. And, the Chiefs every year draft some guy that I can't pronounce what his damn name is. And the rest of his career, I screw it up and you guys laugh at me. So I would not be surprised to see the Chiefs draft some of the Polynesian guy that I can't pronounce his name. And you guys laugh at me for the next 11 years.
Well, it'll take 2 weeks for me to figure it out as well.
I think it's Suo Mataia. This one looks pretty cut and dried.
You'll hear a pause for a second or two for like 2 weeks as I work through making sure I can get it right. It only took me about 4 or 5 days on UDK Uzama, but I'd heard it.
Yeah.
If it's not a kid that's played at Kansas or K-State or Mizzou, then I'm going to need some time as well to figure it out. It does feel like with Rashee Rice, maybe the Chiefs have opened the door on their type of wideout. One thing that I think, and Eric Eager said this on one of our podcasts, a lot of teams value size so much at wideout. That's maybe one thing that bodes well. Like, Ladd McConkey's not small, like 5'8", but he's only 6 feet. So maybe, they're in a better spot to get a guy that they like. But it does feel like they've maybe expanded their horizons. Rashee Rice didn't run a great 40. He's a bigger, stronger type of wideout. It feels like maybe they've been like, okay, we can't just keep taking Mecole Hardman's 175-pound guys that can run. We need some guys that we get the ball too short and they do something with it after the catch.
Well, if that's where they're looking, then, you got the kid from Texas, Mitchell, and then the Leggett kid. He's a big dude. He carries a lot of mass. He's got a big, solid frame.
Yeah.
Just a big dude, big physical guy. So, yeah, I like the way you're thinking. If they're going to go with the Chiefs way at the wide receiver position, then Xavier Worthy's the guy. He's the fastest guy in the draft, maybe in the whole draft, but I know at the wide receiver position, I think he set a record for as fast as he is, but he's tiny. He's only 165 pounds. So, is this a guy that they have run around and try to move safeties with motion and a little bit like, they've had over the past couple of years with Hardman and then the guys in Miami. I'm drawing a blank on his name. He's not on the team anymore anyway, so what the hell.
Tyreek Hill.
Tyreek Hill. But the reality is, the Chiefs have liked those kind of guys, but, I'd like to see him get a bigger target for Patrick Mahomes. And, listen, we all know one of the things the Chiefs are going to have to do, and it has a lot to do with protection. It has a lot to do with scheming. But, they need a wide receiver that can, make a play down the field with maybe some size where he can go up over the top of somebody. And, they got to get some chunk plays in the passing game. They started to do it a little bit towards the end of the year, but basically the first 6, 7, 8 games of the year, it was basically yards after catch, throw out to the flat and, block and, 3-yard pass, try to get 8 yards and then move the sticks. I would like them to see them go get a big wide receiver, a taller wide receiver, a physical wide receiver that's going to go up and win those 50-50 balls down the field.
One thing I kind of worry about sometimes, particularly at both wide receiver and offensive tackles, we see a lot of times, on draft night, that first round, like, oh boy, no one's going off the board at this particular position. Then all of a sudden it's bing, 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 bing. And I
saw last year's
wide receivers. And I always wondered, like, the fourth team to the party, why? The idea is, well, here come the wide receivers, better get one while they're there. I think that often leads teams to either take a player lesser than they wanted to get at that spot, and why do that, or jump up five spots to get a guy that you don't think is really the 26th or 27th best player, but you have to go up there and get him. That to me is kind of on the edge of reaching, and I always worry about if there's a run on those guys, the guy you really want is gone, or you think you have to go up to get a guy who isn't where he worthy of the spot you have to go to get him, go somewhere else.
I think that's fair, and that's kind of the point we made about offensive tackle.
Yeah.
Like, nine offensive tackles have come off the board. But let me ask you a question. There wasn't a run, but maybe this is a better way to put it is, this is what you're saying the Chiefs, this is that scenario playing out for the Chiefs in the sense that they jumped up in front of the run. Two corners went in 2022. Derek Stingley, 3. Sauce Gardner, 4. Another corner didn't go. We're through 20 picks and no other corner is gone.
Mm-hmm.
And the Kansas City Chiefs said, we're going up and getting Trent McDuffie.
Yeah. Yeah.
They obviously valued him much more like Stingley and Gardner than the guys who would come next. And as Curtis has pointed out, Buffalo took Kyer Elam and he barely gets on the field.
Yeah, a guy I really wanted. He was my, I won't say a draft crush, but he seemed to have the measurables of the Andy Reid, Steve Spagnuolo corner, and he was a healthy scratch half the year last year.
Yeah, I just give you the cornerback position. If you let me rank this by position. If you go by cornerbacks, here's their value. Like, it's a mathematical formula that Pro Football Reference comes up. But Sauce Gardner, 26, Trent McDuffie, 18, 10 for Roger McCreary, he went 35. Down here, 11 for Marcus Jones, went 85, 14 for Rig Woolen of Seattle, but like 8 for Derek Stingley, 4 for Kyer Elam. Like, they said, this guy, there is one frontline starting corner that we feel is really a stud, and we're going to go get him. They made their move, and that's what this draft kind of feels. I think, to Curtis's point, Tim, kind of feels like that, right? Like, if you're going to get a wideout or you're going to get a tackle that you just love, you're probably going to have to move.
Yeah, exactly. And I do like the way that Brett Veach and his staff does a good job of ranking their guys, and I think Trent McDuffie's a great example of that. You know, if we looked at this list and Matt Murphy's list, I don't know if you have it from back, or Matt Miller's list back when you back when Trent McDuffie was coming out, but I bet he was about the third or fourth or fifth corner that was coming out. I mean, and the Chiefs, listen, they may have had him at number one or number two or number three. So I think this scouting department does an unbelievable job. I think we've seen that. I think last year with Felix, they reached a little bit. And nobody said the guy's a bust. No, it's not a bust. You know what? He had a year to get his feet underneath him, to get a little bit bigger, a little bit faster, a little bit stronger, and work on his stuff. And I think by the time it's all said and done, we'll know what he is by the time year two, three, and four come around, whether he's going to be a great football player or not. I'm hoping he is. I hope the kid grows into the league and grows into himself and of sticking to their guns. But I agree with you. If there's a guy like a Guyton from Oklahoma that hasn't been picked yet, and all of a sudden, hey, we can move up to 20 to get him, and we really like him, we need a left tackle, boom, go get him. If they have that kid from Oregon State, which I don't think he's going to fall that far. But
The offensive tackle?
Yeah. Faga, but if he goes, say he's at 19 or he's not picked yet, and the Chiefs say, hey, let's go get that kid. He's a big, strong, physical kid, and I like him too. So they may do something like that. But the reality is they got to find somebody who's going to dance with them. And there's not a lot of teams out there that want to dance with the Kansas City Chiefs right now after winning 3 of the last 4 or 5 Super Bowls. And, teams are going to say, hey, you know what? We're not going to help these guys out to continue this dynasty. So there's a little bit of that. Don't fool yourself. There's a little bit of that. The Chiefs call and say, hey, listen, we want to dance. We want to move up with you guys. And they're like, hey, we're not helping you guys out. Stay at 32. So there's that, too. So I don't know if they're going to be able to find a dance.
So how about this? To your point, Matt Miller's top 25. Number 6 was Sauce Gardner. Number 10 was Derek Stingley. And number 20 was Trent McDuffie.
Yeah,
so he was there.
They got him.
Yeah, he was their third best corner. He was the third best corner on his board, and they went up and grabbed him. And nice job, by the way, Andrew Boothie at 32, going down through the corners. Kyer Elam, he had 52. Roger McCreary at 54.
Right.
So, yeah, he did pretty good.
You knew who the stud was out of those two.
Yes,
and they were picked two picks apart.
Yeah.
So Duffy and Elam.
It is an amazing, deep dive into, looking back and learning from what happened. But they were committed on Trent McDuffie. They went up and made the move, and it worked out.
But I would rather pay a little bit more, as we're kind of discussing, pay a little bit more to get up in front of the run than pay any amount to get to the on the tail end of the run.
But let's do. Remember, they also moved up for Breland Speaks.
Yes.
So, like you can't just celebrate the successes. There is danger in it. You're losing some lottery tickets that you could use later on. You know, you need to be really right when you move up in the first round.
I think that there's going to be some. I know the offensive line coaches are going to be battling for an offensive tackle. I know that the wide receiver coaches are going to be battling for a wide receiver. But I think Andy Reid, Brett Veach, and the rest of the scouting staff and the both coordinators are going to say, hey, listen, okay, well, here's the deal. We can move up and get this offensive tackle or this wide receiver, but we're going to have to give up this, this, and that. What's your thoughts on it? And if you could sell us on that, then maybe that's something we're going to do. But once again, you got to find somebody who's going to trade with you and make that deal with you. The other thing is Brett Veach might say, listen, we are not going to give up any of our draft choices. We think there's quality depth in this draft. And, you know, I happen to think there's some good football players in this draft you can get in the second and third and fourth round. I like the kid, the linebacker from Ohio State, Eichelberg. I think he's another guy that the Chiefs, could pick up late, maybe in the fourth or fifth round. But I digress. Let's not get in the weeds with all that. But
let's talk fifth round, Tim. Do it.
but let's talk about that 32nd pick. If they figure, hey, listen, there's some good football players that are falling down to that spot that are really athletic. We're going to pick the best guy available. Heck, you never know who it's going to be. Shoot, it could be a tight end. It could be an inside, like I talked about, inside offensive line or defensive line. It could be a safety. Who knows? And I think the Chiefs are not afraid to go and say, hey, listen, we had this guy high on our draft board. We didn't think he was going to fall this far. He may not be in a position of need. But the reality is that this is a guy that could come on this football team and help us to win games, and we're going to take him. So that's the beauty of the draft. Listen, we all know they need a wide receiver. Rashid Rice's situation may force their hand. We all need to need an offensive tackle. Donovan Smith is ranked 44th in the free agency deal, and, I mean, that's not very good overall. So he's like the fifth or sixth free agent tackle that's out there. So, we've got to go and find a guy to fill that position in the tackle spot. But if there's a run on those guys, like you guys talked about, there's nobody there for you. We're not reaching. We're not going to go and get. We may well get somebody in the second round at the tackle position. And the Chiefs have done well at offensive linemen in the second round. And, I'll raise my hand.
Yes, they have done well. And you should raise your hand. Chiefs Hall of Famer. Tim Grunhardt is with us here in the program. Let's take a break. One more quick one. We'll get Tim's thoughts on who they did draft on this little mock draft just to see if he would be pleased and how it all turned out. Tim Grunhardt brought to you by our friends at Twin Peaks. Great spot to go watch some Royals baseball, watch the NFL draft. Check it out. Twin Peaks Stanley Cup playoffs right around the corner. NBA playoffs. Eats, drinks, scenic views are at Twin Peaks. Welcome back. You're in the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Soren Petro, courtesy of Adam Dravetta with you. Tim Grunhart, Chiefs Hall of Famer, life coach, football insider. He's with us, proudly brought to you by our friends at Twin Peaks. The spot for happy hour with 29-degree draft beers, premium cocktails served over ice balls, a great bourbon category, tequila category. If you're a connoisseur, happy hour at Twin Peaks. TVs everywhere, made from scratch menu, and of course, the most scenic views in town. Eats, drinks, scenic views. Don't forget they're your fight headquarters as well. Big card last weekend in the MMA. It's always on at Twin Peaks. Go to TwinPeaksRestaurant.com to find their location nearest you. Tim, just real quick, let me run by you the guys they took. We've only got a few minutes, but they took Xavier Leggett at 32 in this mock draft. And we talked about bigger, more physical kind of wideout, more like Rashee Rice. At 65, I think the Chiefs are up next. They went with the D-tackle from Clemson, or from Florida State, Braden Fisk. So he goes at 64. And then in the third round, they took Blake Fisher, offensive tackle, Notre Dame. Are you happy if those are their first three picks?
Blake Fisher is definitely a right tackle, though. I don't see him at left tackle. So, but or maybe they can move him inside like they did with Banks from Notre Dame with the 49ers, who was their right tackle at Notre Dame, and then moved in over to left guard, did a good job, and has been very productive. I do like I do think that if everything's all equal and there's a wide receiver that they like, I think that that's where they're going to go at 32, because I think you can find a quality, maybe even the kid from Yale, offensive tackle. I don't have, is he even on any of your lists?
He's on here somewhere.
Yeah. But there's a guy that
I love him. Kieran Amegaji. I'm going to try Amegaji. Has really long arms and is athletic. But
that's how I saw it pronounced online, Amegaji.
Amegaji. And, you know, he's got as long arms as they've ever measured, a little over 6'5", quick out of the stance. But he's played at Yale and he has had some injuries. But I love him as a project. But, you know, they've got him in this mock draft going 75.
Yeah. So that could be a guy that, you know, if they decide, hey, listen, we're going to go with a wide receiver in the first round, second round, you know, hey, let's get a defensive tackle. I like the kid. I think that'd be great if they can get that the kid from Florida State, the Fisk kid. And then maybe you find a kid like that kid from Yale is a little bit of a project. But then you got to realize that Wandae Morris is going to be your guy. And is he going to be able to hold up? At times last year, he was okay. But I thought, you know, we talked about it a little bit last week. You know, he got kind of out of sorts. His technique, when he got tired, got a little bit off. He was a little bit of a waist bender. He got his head forward. His hands were, you know, in front of his head. And you have those kind of problems at the outside there, you're going to get beat, especially in the NFL. So he's got to get better at that position. But listen, the Chiefs, I thought they did a good job of signing some of the guys they needed to sign in their free agency from their team. I don't think they're done in free agency. They may go and look for an offensive tackle in free agency. Maybe we could talk about that a little bit next week with some of the guys. There are some guys out there. You know, it's a scenario that I think they're going to shop up. And if they don't get their bidding that they want, I think they may move down. And if they hold pat, they get a wide receiver, one of those bigger wide receivers you see from South Carolina, or maybe even the kid from Texas.
Tim, I will leave you with this. Rookie or Horohoro, defensive tackle from Clemson, long arm, 294 pounds, 6 feet four, 6 feet 5 inches tall. That's the name I want you to practice, because I think that's a possibility late second. Maybe if he falls to the third or they're moving up, he looks like a Spagnuolo guy. Rookie
or Horohoro.
Or Horohoro. You need to be ready. You need to be ready.
There is no doubt that they're going to draft somebody that I can't pronounce their name, because that is the Chiefs' way. Let's screw it grunty for about 10 years.
You're the man, Timmy. We appreciate it. We'll talk next week.
All right. Thank you, guys.
See you, bud.
All right. Who was the visiting manager in the first game ever played at Kauffman Stadium? Brought to you by Good Sense.